Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, from high atop the ice surface at MTS Center. Welcome to the Illegal Curve post-game podcast. I'm your host, Drew Mindell, joined in the press box by my colleague, Richard Pollock, and to my left, producer Michael Remus.
Drew, it's the middle of the third period. Why are we doing a podcast now?
Well, because, frankly, the third period was as inconsequential of a third period as we've seen in an NHL game this season, and for that, the Winnipeg Jets deserve full kudos, because they were facing a weakened opponent, and with the exception of a hiccup in the first sort of 10 minutes of this game, they just simply dominated a weak opponent.
Yeah, I mean, we spoke to Troy Westwood about it, you and I, before the game. You and I spoke to Troy Westwood. We basically said, you know, get on him early, Florida will mail it in, and you can take this game by the, you know, grab him by the throat. And, you know, they were up 3-2 after the first period, but they did grab the game by the throat. I mean, Florida packed it in. I mean, that was, I think what I said to you guys during the second period was, you know, they're on the eighth hole of Augusta right now with how quickly they mailed it in. I mean, it's enough's enough already in terms of effort, in terms of any willingness to play defense. The Jets took full advantage to their credit.
Absolutely. And I mean, it was sort of a hectic first period, a hectic start to this game in that the Jets jumped out to an early lead like we said they needed to do. They scored in the first, you know, at the 3:54 mark of the first period. And you thought, okay, they scored that first goal. That's what they needed to do. Now Florida will wilt and collapse. And really, the Jets were sloppy for the first 10 minutes of this game. And that's why, you know, it was 2-2.
Yeah.
There were four goals scored in this game in the first 6.5 minutes.
Yeah, they took a timeout after that and settled things down. I believe it was after the second goal by Florida. And, you know, but overall... Overall, I'm not sure, Remus, what happened
we're
there.
Fine.
Overall, they had 17 shots in the first period, Drew. They were taking it to them pretty good. I mean, Florida had some good scoring chances on top of the goals. But overall, the Jets were the better team. And then after that, I mean, second period, once there was a little bit of push from the Jets and a little bit of discipline, it was done.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll go through the goals quickly, at least the goals that were sort of the more consequential of the goals. Mm-hmm. The Jets opened the scoring at the 3:54 mark. Aaron Gagnon gets his second of the year, assist to Blake Wheeler and Andrew Ladd. It's a shot from the point from Blake Wheeler, not normally a guy who shoots from the point or is in a position to shoot when he's at the point. Aaron Gagnon's sort of in the mid-slot. He tips it, and it's past Markstrom.
I haven't seen a game this year where players have been so available for tips, which means the Florida wasn't defending. They weren't man-on-man in their own zone. They weren't taking up the middle of the ice. And so the Jets were I don't know if they take anybody keeps track of that, but if they do, I would guarantee you that there's the most tips on the opposing team's net tonight of the season, if not the past, you know, since the Jets returned.
Yeah.
It was just free reign, and so Gagnon's got started, and it was all night.
And the puck was bouncing all over the place. It was really sort of more so in the first period than anything else. But it was Plinko with the puck almost for the first period of this game.
Ooh, Price is Right reference.
Thank you. I hope you enjoy that. The Panthers responded to their credit.
Yeah,
they tried to be competitive in the, you know, the start of the game. They responded only. It took them 52 seconds to respond when Brennan scores for the Panthers, his third of the year, assist to Thomas Fleischman and Marcel Gotch. Probably a shot that Andrei Pavlik wants to have back.
He wants to hit something, which it didn't appear to, although we thought initially that it did. It was a weak goal by Pavlik. Brennan, I thought, played a pretty good game, moved the puck pretty well, skated pretty well, but doesn't exactly play great defense. And don't worry about that if you're a Florida fan, because nobody on the team plays really, or really worry about that, because nobody on that team plays any defense.
Yeah, and the Jets bounced back after giving up that goal. It only took them 18 seconds later. I wasn't kidding when I said it was a hectic first period. Evander Kane gets his 15th of the year, assist to Olli Jokinen. This was just an ugly as ugly goals go. Olli Jokinen is
Tyson Strachan's clueless out there. I mean, that's what it was.
But,
I mean, he cost him the third goal, too. We'll talk about that in a second. But
Jokinen just fires the puck on net.
Strachan loses his man in front. I mean, it's just a mess. It's a fire drill out there for Florida.
Of course it's a fire drill, but it should never come to Tyson Strachan needing to cover Evander Kane on that play, because Jokinen fires the puck in such a manner. He really fires it almost from the goal line, the corner and the goal line there. Markstrom has to control that puck. It can't even begin to be a rebound that Evander Kane sort of pushes over the line there. It can't even get to that point. Markstrom has to. That's not even a routine NHL save.
Fair
That's
enough.
A routine Highlander save.
Yeah, fair enough, Drew. But, I mean, just a disaster. But give the Jets credit for going to the net. I mean,
yeah,
they did go to the net all night.
And, again, though, the Panthers responded. A minute 27 later, Thomas Fleischman gets his ninth of the year, assist to Brennan. Great pass, cross ice from Brennan to Fleischman. Yeah. Fleischman's got a wide open net because Andrei Pavlik and the defensemen are sort of caught up one around the blue paint. Some people said, well, why isn't that goaltender interference? We've seen less called for goaltender interference. Yeah. You sort of had an interesting theory on why you didn't think it was interference.
Well, you know, I just thought, like, from my perspective, is Pavlik has to fight through that and try and make the save and then let it be called if he doesn't make the save, or at least in the alternative, he makes a save. In this case, he just stood there and let it go past him or beside him and then looked to the ref to see if there was a call. And that's not the way to approach the goal. I didn't think he approached that properly. He could have fought through it. He just stood there. And you're taking chances that way. I mean, you're still taking your chances anyways, but when you fight through it, you're at least A, proving that there's an impediment, and B, giving yourself a shot to save it if the puck isn't actually going, if it's not actually going to be a penalty. So I didn't think it was really a good decision there.
Not relying on the officiating to bail you out by making the call. Right. After that goal, Claude Noel called timeout and really settled down his team. And, you know, the cliche, read them the riot act. I think he just sort of got their heads back into the game, what they needed to do in their own zone.
You got to be a little bit concerned, you know, if you're a Jets fan, with the way they come out, because you know Florida's got nothing to lose. But give Noel credit, clearly maybe the message wasn't necessarily felt before the game.
Yeah.
And I bet you he was telling them exactly what was going to happen, really, because Florida just mailed it in. But give him credit for pulling him back, kind of like that Peter Laviolette. Call the timeout and just get under there, you know, get them motivated, get a firecracker up their butt.
Well, it's sort of whip them, get their heads back into what's actually happening on the ice. And the Jets responded to that timeout 6 minutes, 11 seconds later at the 12:42 mark of the first period. Andrew Ladd gets his 16th of the year, assist to Brian Little and Dustin Byfuglien. Just a, you know, on that one, that just a nice, you know, a nice play by Little. He comes down the right-hand side. He passes the puck across the ice to Andrew Ladd. Ladd tips it past Markstrom. Just another incident of the Panthers' defense not taking their man and not really, you know, taking a stick and not preventing him from getting the scoring opportunity.
I played a good game. I thought Brian Little made a nice pass there and played a really good game today. Skated well and moved the puck well. And yeah, that was, you know, the first line getting in on it.
Yeah.
It was only a matter of time.
Exactly right. That was the end of the scoring in the first period. So it was 3-2 for the Jets after the first period. They outshot the Panthers 17-9. They really controlled most of that period. And you could see that all it would take for the Jets to sort of wrap this one up was getting that fourth goal.
Yeah, okay.
Get that two-goal lead, and then Florida really is going to go home. And they got that four-goal lead, that two-goal lead at the 10:05 mark of the second period. A power play goal by Grant Klitsam. Another assist to Brian Little. A give and go play. Klitsam pinches at the point, keeps it in, passes it down low to Little, goes hard to the net. Little hits him with the return pass and just a nice shot past Markstrom. It's 4-2 Jets, and really everything else was just a bonus at that point. The game was over at 4-2.
It was, and Klitsam played really well and contributing offensively, and that's really where he flourishes. And again, Little, really good game. Two really nice passes, primary assists on the third and fourth goal. And, you know, give him credit. He got nailed later in the game, but played a nice, solid game.
Little got, later in the game, he got hit with a sort of a shoulder, elbow, forearm to the head by Eric Gudbrandsson of the Panthers. Gudbrandsson got 5 in a game for an illegal hit to the head.
Dirty play,
probably somewhat factored in. A suspension for a couple games, I would suspect. Factored in probably because of the height difference there. There's a significant size difference. Yeah. But that's no excuse. You have to be responsible for your actions.
I think it's more of the score of the game. And
do you think it was a frustration play?
Yeah, for sure. It was right after Peros, I believe. And yeah, it was. And then they were just frustrated. And you know, nobody was engaging Peros. And it was kind of an odd two penalties there to Peros. But overall, Gudbrandsson was just frustrated and took it out on Little there. And that's a suspendable play. I mean, what was it that Volchenkov got for hitting Marchand, I believe,
four games.
And I think Volchenkov's a repeat offender, if I recall correctly. I believe so. He kind of plays on the edge. Gudbrandsson's young, and I don't believe he has a prior track record, but I may very well be wrong. In any event, it's to me, you still have to suspend regardless.
The Jets made it 5-2 only 28 seconds after Klitsam's goal. Dustin Byfuglien from the point with a rocket of a shot. But again, there was no traffic in front. There was, you know, no one deflecting the puck. It's a save that Markstrom has to make.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't make. I mean, it was a hard shot, but
a hard shot top corner, but I mean, like, there's no kind of in the way, but it was a high screen. Come on. I mean, you're in the NHL. You got to save that puck.
Right. So it was 5-2 at that point in time for the Winnipeg Jets. They made it 6-2. Evander Kane gets his second of the night, his 16th on the season.
Gudbrandsson's skating in quicksand, and Kane is a beautiful skater. He goes right around him. Well, and then Markstrom's clueless, and then he goes and he scores there. I mean,
yeah,
it was like you're watching Pee Wee.
Exactly. That also probably factors into Gudbrandsson's frustration later on, is he got embarrassed on that play.
Drew,
he just took a terrible angle at the puck.
He's not a great skater either, Drew.
Well, and I mean, Evander Kane picks it up. He sees Gudbrandsson.
He's a great skater.
Yeah. He sees Gudbrandsson not take a good angle, and he's not a good skater to begin with. Picks up the puck and just dekes around the goaltender and just puts it into the empty net. It's 6-2 at that point in time.
Oh, my God.
And it was at least the third period was quick. I suppose that's the only thing you can say for the third period.
Oh, yeah. The third period was good. Yeah, Chris Thorburn even scored. Dave Minuk's boy, Chris Thorburn.
Yeah, Chris Thorburn wrapped up the scoring at the 11:52 mark of the third period. He got his second of the year, assist to Ron Hainsey and Zach Bogosian.
Dave, what did Chris have to say in the room? He's excited about the goal?
Yeah, there you go.
Second goal of the year. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Anyways, it was a 7-2 Jets final tonight here at MTS Center. They took care of business, and they won three games in a row. They did what they needed to do on home ice to start this six-game homestand, rather.
We said 7-2, and they're 3-0, so they got to go 4-2. Now, we said 4-2 to be in the conversation, to give themselves a chance. Unfortunately, tonight, the Islanders win, Ottawa wins, and who's the other team? Washington wins. So, yeah. I mean, but you're staying with them, and it's sure you don't gain any ground, but you're staying with them. Now, this weekend, as you mentioned, there's going to be some games. The Jets are off until Tuesday now. But Tuesday comes in, I believe, Tampa, and Thursday is Carolina.
That's right.
Saturday is the Islanders. I mean, the schedule is so easy. So you take your rest, and you just go at it for those last six.
Exactly. You got these next 4 days off or whatever it is. And on Tuesday, you'll know exactly where you stand. Everybody will have caught up to you in terms of games played. So it's going to be a six-game sprint to the finish at that point in time. Everybody will know how many points you need.
Carolina's done. Tampa's done. Islanders obviously aren't done.
Islanders with a big win tonight in Boston, so they're playing well.
You're at Buffalo. They're a joke.
And then you're at Washington.
And then you're home to Montreal. And keep in mind, the Montreal might be locked into two or four there.
Right, that Montreal game, in a Jets' ideal world, Montreal knows where they are in the standings,
exactly right.
And they don't even bother. It's not an important game for them, so they can take it or leave it.
So they sit some of their, especially going to the playoffs in a short season, you probably play Budai if you have it locked up, and you could even lock up
four. They might play Budai regardless.
They might, but you lock. I don't know if they play after or not, Montreal, but you put in a guy like Budai, you maybe pull some of your vets, and you say, okay, let's get some rest. And remember, there's no roster maximum right now, right?
So exactly. You can, whoever's up with your team can go into the lineup. It doesn't, if you have, the Jets have something like, I think, 29 guys on their active roster right now, so nothing precluding any team from resting their players to a significant degree. That's it for us and the Illegal Curve post-game podcast. Some ice time, some time on ice notes. The Jets were able to roll four lines all game long. Zach Bogosian, 19 minutes and 34 seconds. Dustin Byfuglien led all players with 24:08. Grant Clitsam, 22:06 in terms of ice time. Andrew Ladd, 20:29. The Winnipeg Jets outshoot the Florida Panthers by a 35-27 margin. Your three stars in tonight's game, your third star, Brian Little, second star, Dustin Byfuglien, and your first star, Evander Kane. Reminder, Saturday afternoon, 12 noon, the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. We'll talk Jets for three straight hours. Stay tuned to IllegalCurve.com for some post-game audio gathered by both Ezra Ginsberg and Dave Minuk from both the Jets and the Panthers dressing room. For my colleague Richard Pollock and for producer Michael Remus, I'm the host of the Illegal Curve post-game podcast, Drew Mindell. We thank you for listening. We'll see you Saturday, 12 noon on TSN 1290.